Hallelujah. Hope everybody this morning. Awesome. Well, today's a special day for me. I can't think of a better way of spending my 70th birthday than preaching to you guys. So. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Huh? Thank you. Thank you very much.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Well, I didn't tell you it was my birthday for that, but thank you. That was very nice. Now you know why we don't have a choir. Hallelujah. Well, I want to talk to you today about, when you hear somebody preach and teach about principles and situations that work in their life and have worked in their life, you know, you look at them and you think, man, if I can just apply that certain principle, boy, it wouldn't be long. You know, I'll be doing that or I'll be having that or whatever. Let me tell you, it takes some time. It takes some consistency. It takes faithfulness with God. That's all God's looking for. God's looking for people who are faithful to Him and are faithful and believe in Him. How many times in Scripture did Jesus say, all you need to do is believe? You know, the man that came running up to Jesus, his son was sick and almost dying and told Jesus and he turned to go to minister to this boy, and somebody touched the hem of his garment. Remember the story? And power went out of him, and he stopped and he dealt with a woman with the issue of blood. And by the time he finished, this woman with the issue of blood and all the people pressing in on him, somebody came running back to that man and said, don't bother the master anymore because your son just died. Jesus just looked him in the eye and said, just believe. Believing is the key to everything. You see, God leveled the playing field for the whole world. The whole world has equal opportunity at God. Everybody on earth. I don't care what their social status. I don't care race, creed, color. It doesn't matter. The whole world has equal opportunity with God because God leveled the playing field with what we call faith. It doesn't take money, it doesn't take education, it doesn't take anything except faith to access God and to receive from God everything that the New Testament promises us we will receive. And the New Testament promises us as we connect to God in covenant, then all that He is accessible to us. If we make available to Him all that we are. Faith levels the playing field. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. You've got to know something exists before it does. Isn't that crazy? You've got to believe something exists before you're able to see it. But you see, that's the way it is with everybody on earth. It doesn't take education to access God and to get all the good from God. It doesn't take it at all. Yet people work and scurry and run hither and yon, looking for more information, trying to get to that place with God that they believe they can get by works and effort. No, it takes faith. Hebrews 11:6 says you cannot please God without faith. For you must first believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So if we know that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, two words in there I want you to recognize, we want to center on for just a second. A rewarder means He's got good things for us. James says that all good gifts come down from the Father of heavenly light. He doesn't shift and change like the weather and like people. He doesn't change. He's just saying yesterday, today, and forevermore. What He did in the Old Testament, He's doing in the New Testament. What He does for some person, He'll do for every person who applies the same level of faith. It all has to do with faith. It all has to do with believing. And because I want to talk about faith and believing, I want to hone in a little finer on healing. Healing of the physical body. Do you realize that God has created our bodies to be self-healing? You understand that? And you just cut your hand and watch. 4 days later, it'll be healed. 7 days later, you won't even notice it was there. God has made our bodies self-healing. You ever bite your tongue? Well, I bit my tongue the other day. Thought I lopped about 3 inches off the end of it. Oh, hurt so bad. Couldn't hardly. 3 days later, I couldn't even see. It was bleeding. Blood and everything. But a few days later, it was all gone. Healed. Not my tongue was gone. But it was healed. Everything in the Bible has to do with what you believe and the faith you apply. One of the most wonderful things that God did for me when I cried out to Him, and I think, well, I don't even want to determine why it happened. When I cried out to God, He began to deal with me immediately and taught me great things about walking with Him and listening and responding to Him. And when I say listening to Him, everybody thinks about the audible ear. That's not what we listen with for God. We listen with the heart. We listen inwardly. It's thoughts to our mind. It's knowing. It's understanding. A lot of times I get information from God that's not articulated in words. It's just a knowing chunk. They just drop a chunk of data. God, in the flash of a second, can drop enough information into your heart, into your mind, to keep you busy chewing on that and studying that out for the rest of your life, as He's done with me. I've been through a lot of things in the years I've walked with God. I remember, close to 40 years now, Richie and I went to church, had our daughters, three little blonde-headed girls all in a row. We went to this church, small country church, and when the service was over, the custom was that we'd all file out, you know, and the pastor would be by the door shaking all of our hands and greeting us and so forth. Pastor looked at me and he shook my hand and looked me right in the eye and he said, "There's a lot of sermons in you, isn't there, son?" And I probably wrinkled my brow and I thought he was nuts. And I said, "Well, I don't know." I kind of chuckled and laughed. He saw something in me that I didn't see, didn't recognize myself, you see. He was speaking out of faith. But He put a seed in me, and that same man recognized my call to ministry sometime later and worked with me for a number of years and helped me learn some of the things that a pastor's got to go through. Hard knocks taught me the rest. But I want to talk about some scripture this morning that has to do with healing, and it's going to be centered on what you believe. Look at Psalms 103, verses 3, 4, and 5. Would you do that for me? Psalms 103, verses 3, 4, and 5. Verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." Here's a good one. "Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." You see, I believe the scriptures are so strong in what a man should be who's firmly rooted and grounded in the Word of God. It says that he will not wither when he gets old. His leaves will never wither. He'll continue to give forth fruit in season. He'll be pliable and bendable. He will not be brittle and break. You see, I believe with all my heart, scriptures have proven to me, and I believe it, that just because we get old, we don't have to get sick to go to heaven. See, the world thinks you got to get old, get sick, and die. Some people in the world aren't even getting old. And they're getting sick and they die. That's not God's plan for those who believe. Look at Psalms 1. Bless you. Go to Psalms 1. 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. I like that. That's who I want to be. So I've worked hard over the years, applied my faith to Scripture, dug deep, study it a lot. And I'm going to live that out because I believe that's God's blessing. I believe that's God's plan for mankind. I've known several people, and Scripture testifies to this, Peter testifies to it, Paul testifies to it, that when it's time to go home, God will give you a choice. Sickness isn't supposed to steal us from God. I ministered a funeral of an elderly lady. At the time, she was probably in her 80s. And her grandkids, who were parents, of course, they were in my church. Grandma was in my church for a number of years as well. And one morning early, I got a phone call from the lady of the house, and she said, Pastor Larry, she said, I just wanted to let you know that Grandma passed away last night. She went home to be with Jesus. And she said, I've got a testimony to tell you. I want to tell you something about that. So can we get together? I said, sure, I'd love to. My church was just a mile or so from her house. So I said, I'll be at the office here in a little bit. So why don't you get some time this morning, slide by, we'll talk about it. So a little later on, she did. She came by and she said, yesterday was grandmother's 80-something's birthday. And she said, I spent the day with her. I asked her one time, Grandma, what do you want for your birthday? And she said, you know what? I would love to spend the day just with you. And so she said, we did. We spent that day together. We went shopping. We went to the mall. We walked. She said, she outwalked me and I was about to die. And then she said, I think it's time I go home. And the lady said, all right, well, let's just pay. And no, she said, I don't mean go home here in Iowa. I mean, it's time for me to go home. And the lady that was talking to me looked at me and she said, I was a little confused. I didn't understand what she's talking about. And she said, Grandma, what are you talking about? She said, sweetie, Jesus has been talking to me now for quite some time that I can come home if I want to. And she said, having this day with you, enjoying this celebration with you, she said, I realize it's time for me to go home. So she said, I'm just telling you this so that you know I just love this day and I thank you. This is the greatest birthday gift I've ever had. I appreciate it. And they went home, and granddaughter helped grandma into the house, and she laid down and went to heaven. I knew a preacher one time. Preacher. He was an old guy. A lot older than me. And he preached his sermon on Sunday morning. Preached a fiery message. Altar call. Several people came to the altar, got saved. Prayed for people. Dismissed church. Went home, had a nice lunch. Told his wife, well, he said, I think my race is run. I feel like this is it. He said, I just want to tell you how much I love you. He said, I'm going to go take a nap now. He did, and he never woke up. Peter says some of the same thing. He says, I see that my time is at hand. Paul said the same thing, my time is at hand. And I don't know whether to stay or go. If I stay, it's benefit for you. But if I go, it's benefit for me. And he said, you know what I think? I think I'll just stay. Paul said that. Lived up several more years after that. You see, our whole concept on life is all askew because we live in a world that's all askew. Our next step out of this world into the next world should be painless and easy. Should be an exciting adventure. Should be one that you feel the presence of God on all the way through. Not fear and trepidation and trembling. What do you believe? See, that's what I believe. And I believe Scripture bears witness, and I've seen many people who've testified to the same thing. And so that's what I choose to believe. I choose to believe I don't have to get old, brittle, and break to go to be with Jesus. I choose to serve Him the rest of my life every day. I choose to pour years of experience into you because I want to bring God glory. And I don't know any other way that I could bring God glory except to tell you how great God is. Amen? What do you believe? Where's your faith? What are you believing? Psalms 103 talks about, don't forget His benefits. Look at that again. He forgives all our iniquities. There's no sin, there's no problem, there's no issue you've ever had that God has not already forgiven. There's no issue you're going to have God has not already forgiven. That's the craziest thing about God. He's forgiven things you're going to do. You know, during my years in ministry, you know, I've screwed up in royal ways. I've made huge mistakes, and when I met the Lord, you know, He rescued me, and it didn't take me very long that, bam, I was in ministry. And I don't know how all that happened except to say it was God's will, and so that's the way it happened, and I'm glad it did. I wouldn't change a thing. If I had to do it all over again, that'd probably be the same, the same way. But I don't know where I was going with that. Where was I going with that? Okay, I was going that way. But I've made huge mistakes and I've made huge errors. I know where I was going. I'll take this one. I've made huge mistakes and huge errors. And every time I have, I've always felt horrible about it. But this one thought jumps up into my mind. I think it's God's voice speaking to me when He does. He knew I would do that before He called me. Yet He called me anyway. And then when He gave me a church, and I would blunder and make mistakes and errors, et cetera, and I would feel so horrible, and I'd be, you know how we are when we get that way, we beat on ourselves, kind of. And when I would be in that place of feeling the worst, you know, I would hear God say, or I would just remember, He knew I was going to do that, and He gave me the church anyway. And when I remember those things, that just immediately snaps me out of my funk. Because I realize He has really forgiven me all my iniquities, past, present, and future. Yet He knows my heart. He knows that that's not who I am. He knows my heart is for Him. How could it be anything else? So He forgives all my iniquities. He also heals all my diseases. That's a huge one people get confused over. You know, God made our bodies to be self-healing, and science right now, science is proving right now that the old form of biology that we always thought about, the cells and the nucleus of the cell was the brain of the cell, and that each cell could pretty much do its own thing based on what it was, whatever. Well, that's not true. They're proving that's not true. They're proving that every cell in your body marches to a commander. And that commander is called the central voice. That's what science calls it. The central voice. And the central voice, get right down to it, is your brain. What do you believe? There's some epigenetic scientists now that are really, really, really wrestling through this thing, because what it's doing is putting to death all the old understanding of biology and how the body works and how the cells work. And what they're coming to grips with is that whatever a man believes, whatever a person's got in his head, whatever he truly believes, that's what his body marches to the beat of. And that your cells and your body function wonderful well. They function at their highest capacity, and you get the greatest benefit out of all your body if you can provide your body a positive experience and a peace experience. If you're always in negativity, you know how that feels. It drags you down, right? It also eliminates the ability for your cells to fight negativity. What do you believe? See, that's scientific proof. I've got books in my office. Some epigenetic scientists that you ought to read. One's called Biology of Belief. It's a wonderful book. Dr. Bruce Lipton from Stanford University. He says, if we had a way of consistently reprogramming our subconscious mind, we'd all live longer, happier, and healthier lives. Because he realizes that it's what's in your subconscious mind that's going to either make a negative impact on your life or a positive impact on your life. And he says, if we had a way of consistently reprogramming that subconscious mind, we'd all live longer, happier, and healthier. And I'm telling you, we do have a way. It's called Jesus. It's called communication with God. It's called Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your body to God a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, and be not conformed, well, the rest of that says, which is your spiritual responsibility, and be not conformed to the pattern of the world, which is negative and dying, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's a reprogramming of your subconscious mind through yielding yourself to God. The thing I teach, the thing you've heard me say a million times, if you've heard me say it once. The science is now beginning to prove that that's correct. Except most of the science don't believe you can really talk to God, or God won't talk to you. He's still this mysterious force out there. But to us, he's personal, isn't he? What do you believe? About your life? What do you believe about your existence? What you believe in everything? What you believe in everything? Jesus said to all the people who were struggling, just believe. Well, yeah, but it's got to be more than that. No, it doesn't. Your whole existence. God created our physical bodies to go off of what you believe. That's why some people can get healed quickly and other people struggle for a long time. Let me tell you a little story, a true story that happened to me. Back when I was in my 30s, I was struggling with... For a while, I was getting boils in my nose. Oh, man, I tell you what, my nose would get so sore, I couldn't touch it. Setting glasses on top of my nose would just, oh. And you touch your bumpy nose, something, just tears would run. It just hurt. You ever had a boil in your nose? It's not a fun place, especially when you have a cold. Ooh, miserable. Talk about purgatory. And I was getting this infection. About once a month, I'd go on a cycle like a woman. About every 30 days, I had this red nose, looked like I was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and I was so sore I couldn't hardly breathe. In those days, I would just be totally wiped out. I was just sat in my chair at home, and I just had no energy at all. Just totally zapped. So I'd go to the doctor, and they would give me an antibiotic, give me a shot of something or a pill, I don't know what it was, and take a few days for that antibiotic to take effect, and then I would start feeling better again. I'd have about 2 or 3 weeks of really feeling good, going good. The boils would go away, and shoot, 30 days later, they'd come again. And the doctors were looking for this source of infection. They said, well, you got infection in your body, but we can't find the source of it. I mean, they checked me every which way. And there was no broken skin, nothing on me that would have let an entrance into my body. They thought maybe there was some infection in my blood and so forth and so on. And one day I went to the doctor with this horrible condition, nose all touchy, and the doctor said, I'm going to do something I haven't done before. He said, I'm going to x-ray your head. He said, we don't like to do this very often, but he said, we've checked everything else out on you. We just can't seem to find this infection, and we need to get to it because I can see you're not getting any better. So he said, I'm going to x-ray your head, and he said, I want the main x-ray, I want the frontal view of your head. So he said, I'm going to take that one first, and if it doesn't prove anything, then I'll give you some side views. And so he took this front view of my face, put them over my eyes, and took the picture, and came back to me a little while later after they had a chance to read the x-ray and said, well, I think we found the source. He said, over your right eye, in that sinus cavity, you have a growth. And he said, that thing is getting large enough that it's going wherever it goes when it fills your sinus cavity. And he said, that's the source of the infection that's creating the boils and the soreness and everything else in your facial area, this area here. He said, that's a very, very dangerous place to have infection. So he said, here's what we are planning to do. And he said, sit down, I want to show you something. He took a chart and he took the front page off the chart. Let me see the diagram behind it. And it was a picture of a head. He said, now what we're going to do is, to get that out, we're going to cut you right here along the jawline, all the way. He said, we'll be careful not to vary off that jawline so you'll never notice the scar from ear to ear, and then we'll pick up that skin. And he told me he was going to take off my face. Yeah, it didn't look too appealing to me. He says, we have to expose. He said, appealing. He said, we have to expose that sinus cavity, and while we're there, we're going to check out all your sinus cavities, because he said, you got something going on in that sinus cavity, and we want to make sure we get it stopped, because he said, that's only just a little ways away from your brain. And he said, I'll tell you what, you get an infection in your brain, you're done. And I'm sitting there, and I'm sure my eyes were like saucers. I'm like, he kept telling me, like, don't worry about it. We do this before. We've done it before. And it's not a big issue. And I'm thinking, yeah, but it's my face. What if you don't get it back on straight? You know, or something. And I'm sitting there. I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. This is crazy. I got to thinking, all of a sudden, boils in your nose isn't that bad. You know? And he said, now, he said, I want to get you set up with a specialist that'll do this. He said, we got to get this done. He said, I want to move quickly on this thing, because he said, it's obviously rather fast growing. And he said, we got to get that stopped. I said, okay, well, so what are you talking about? He said, I'm going to call the hospital and make arrangements and see when we can get you into the surgeon. And it depends on when the surgeon can get you in, when we can get a bed. I'm going, well, now, wait a minute. Hold it. He said, you really got to get this stopped. He said, I don't know any other way. And I said, well, I need to go at least talk to my wife and let her know what's going on. But she wasn't there with me. He said, all right. But he said, I'm going to be calling. We're going to get a hold of you. We're going to tell you when the appointment is. And he says, I want you to take this very seriously, because he said, if it's what I think it is, it can kill you. So I went home, and as I walked out to the car, that was back in the days when you had to have a key. You didn't have a little beeper thing. You had to put a key in the lock and twist the door, you know. And as I was putting the key in my car door, opening it, the Lord said to me, can you trust me? And I remember getting in, shutting the door, putting the key in the ignition, saying, Lord, I can trust you. I do trust you, Lord. And he said, trust me. I went home. I told Dixie what the situation was. I said, Dixie, they want to take off my face. And you want to clean out this cavity and so forth and so on. But I said, as I got in the car, I told her what I just told you. As I got in the car, God said, can you trust me? And I said, yes, Lord, I can trust you. And he responded by saying, then just trust me. So I said, I assume that if they call this afternoon with an appointment, I'm going to have to turn it down. What do you think? She said, well, let's just find out how long it takes them to get an appointment. Let's just kind of wait it out. So here I am. I'm living with this thing, and there's pain in my nose, and I know what it is now, and it's kind of consuming me a little bit, but I keep saying to God, I say this to God, God, I trust you. God, I trust you. Every time I get worried and consumed, I refuse to let that worry and consume take me down. And I say, God, I trust you. You asked me to trust you, Lord. I'm trusting you. It was several weeks. And I never did hear from the doctors on the appointment, by the way. But one day I had some new folks in the community, and they wanted to talk to me in Dixie because they were thinking about coming to our church. And so we invited them over to our home, and I was sitting in the living room on the Davenport with my wife, and we had a new couple, and they had a couple little kids, and they were all there, a lovely family, some, you know, people, any pastor would want in their church. And we were trying to impress them, and all of a sudden I felt this sneeze come on. You know how it feels when all of a sudden you feel like, ooh,
it's going to be a big one.
I ripped out my handkerchief. Thank God I had a handkerchief. I don't have one today. He said, you better hope I don't have it. I ripped out my handkerchief and I put it over my nose. Ah! Boy, I blew it. Oh, I knew something was big, so I left. I said, excuse me. And I went into the bathroom and I looked. There it was. I sneezed and blew that sucker right out my nose. One time I was telling a bunch of pastors this story, and I had one sitting right in front of me looking at me. And I said, and I looked at that, and I said, it had red beady eyes. And he went, oh no!
But it didn't have red beady eyes.
I'm telling you something. What do you believe? See, worry could have got me down. Last words on the doctor's lips, off the doctor's lips, was that could kill you. Every day I didn't hear a call from the doctor was good news to me. And all of a sudden that day came. And God picked that precise moment. Why that precise moment? I'm sure it was very impressive to the couple. They did come to our church, by the way. I did not show them the... I did save it for Dixie, however. You can ask her what it looked like. Blew that thing out of my nose. God said, trust me. From that point on, I've never had an infection in my body. God, heal all your diseases. What do you believe? What do you believe? First Peter 2:24 says, he took my sin in his body on a tree, and I, having died to sin, I now live for righteousness. By his stripes, I was healed. You've got to believe. What do you believe? You believe what the Scriptures say? Let me tell you something. You can't believe what the Scriptures say if you don't know what the Scriptures say. Make sense? This is a book of covenants. And the specific covenant we are interested in is the last one in the book called the New Testament. And it declares the promises of God for those who believe. And if you believe and if you walk in harmony with God, knowing what the promises are, you will receive what He promised all mankind. Now there's one other action that you've got to take in order to receive anything from God, and that is your verbal affirmation. You have to speak it. You have to speak it. Take a look through Scripture and find, except in Genesis where God said it, but from that point on, everything He's done on the earth, He's done through another human being. that has seen something and spoken something, and something then changed their destiny. Everything Jesus did, he spoke. See, religion hasn't done us any good by teaching us to be quiet and humble before God. So we've got a whole bunch of pews like this. Trying to honor God, but in fact, not affirming anything. See, until you speak it, you won't believe it. The Bible says in Matthew 12, 34, 35, that man speaks from the overflow of his heart, or man speaks what he truly believes. But if you don't speak it out of your mouth, it will not get registered in your heart or your head. For the word is nigh thee. It's in thy mouth, and it's in thy heart, says the Lord. You have to speak it. I had to speak, God, I trust you. I trust you, Lord. One time I had a broken muscle off this arm. I still do. This muscle, this bicep is attached to the top of my shoulder. And I injured it. And the doctors looked at it. I didn't go for a while. It hurt. I thought, oh, I just sprained something. After a while, I couldn't lift my arm. I couldn't do anything. So I went to the doctor and I had him x-ray, and he said, well, yeah, you busted that muscle off. And I said, well, can it be reattached? He said, yeah, we can reattach it, but it's more for cosmetic purposes than anything. He just really won't add much strength to it. So I said, well, ain't no sense paying for an operation just to make my right arm look better. So I chose not to. And one day, taking a shower, I was trying to shower. You know, you use both hands most generally to wash your body, right? And I couldn't use my right, and I'm right arm. I'm right-handed. That's my predominant arm. And so I'd have to lift my arm up, put it on the desk so I could write. I just could not lift anything, not even the weight of my own hand, my own arm. And I said to God in the shower one morning, I said, Lord, can you give me a scripture that I can fight this thing with? This pain is horrible. Can you give me a scripture to fight this with? 107 verse 20, Psalm 107 verse 20 came. Take a look at that. Psalm 107 verse 20. I didn't know what that scripture was, and I finished my shower and I got out, got dressed, grabbed my Bible, looked up Psalm 107 verse 20. Look what it says. He sent forth his word. He sent forth his word and healed them. He sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I looked up that last part, their destruction. Some translations say he healed them and delivered them from their self-destructions. Self-inflicted wounds and hurts and pains. Right there's a scripture that'll tell you he healed them. And so it was a period of time I went for almost a year with that painful arm. The pain began to subside, but I kept saying every time it hurt, every time I'd try to use that arm, I'd say, Lord, you sent forth your word. You healed me of my diseases and my self-destruction. Thank you. I receive it. I receive that. And I continued to say that with an arm that hurt. So one day, I got in the shower. And I was taking care of business, washing myself, and realized, oh my gosh, my arm no longer hurts. He sent forth his word and healed me of my disease. Did it come immediately? See, there's the problem. Many people want it immediately. Bam. Well, it didn't happen, so it's not worth it. Come on. Where's your faith? Maybe it took me a while to believe that scripture, to really get it down in my heart. I don't know what it took. I don't know what the deal was. I don't know what the test was. But I tell you what, I remained faithful to what the Bible says. And I quoted that scripture. I spoke that scripture. I talked to God. I believed him. I trusted him. And one day, I don't have any problem with this arm at all. The doctor says, if you don't do something with it, you won't be able to pick up things this way. Shoot, I can pick up things every which way. He heals. What do you believe? What you believe is what directs your body to do, and what you believe also directs your mouth, and heaven complies. What do you believe? That's why it's so important for you to submerge yourself in Scripture. Know what the promises are. If you've got an issue going on that you don't have a Scripture to respond to it with, ask God for the Scripture. Lord, give me a Scripture to battle this with. If a Scripture comes to mind that you already know, then praise the Lord. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is, to remind us of everything He has said. Grab that Scripture and use it and go with it, you see. But believe. Believe. Walk with Him in full belief. Understanding His promises, you exercise that kind of faith, your life's going to be peaceful, productive. You'll produce fruit in season. You'll never wither. You're going to be able to look back over your shoulder when you're 70 and go, thank you, Jesus. His word is correct. His word is true. His word is perfect. What do you believe? Father, thank you. But you've made it so simple for us that we almost discredit it because it's so easy. It's just we have to believe. Thank you for making it simple enough that everyone on earth can apply faith. Everyone on earth can approach you. You're not cloaked from anyone. God, help us spread that message. Help us let the world know that all they need to do is call out to you and you're right there. Lord, use this word spoken this morning to burn deep in their hearts. Remind them, Father, when they're struggling with issues, pains, fears, frustrations, they need only believe. Call on the One who gives us life. Bless these men. Father, I pray. In Jesus' name, everybody say,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, gentlemen, for singing Happy Birthday to me. You're very kind. You missed it.
What if we announced that it was our 70th birthday?